Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end of season sale is here and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor, and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
My name is Stephen Bonnell. I'm known online as Destiny, and I'm here to debate seven Trump supporters today. My first prompt today is that I think that the tariff regime that Trump has installed has already been catastrophic for the United States, and I think it will continue to be catastrophic for the United States, even if he doesn't go through with it. I think that the goals of the tariffs in general are contradictory. I don't think that you can both work out good trade deals where we can import stuff from other nations and protect domestic manufacturing. It seems like there's a lot of tension between a lot of the things that he wants to do with these tariffs. And I think that the tariffs undermine already established trade policies that we had with other countries, namely the trade deal that we had with Mexico and Canada that Trump had worked out in his first administration. And I think it creates a level of instability in this country that makes it impossible for large-scale capital expenditure because you are completely and totally in the dark about what the tariffs will look like in the future. So it discourages people from investing in long-term manufacturing here. So even if you were in favor of any of the stated goals of the tariffs, I don't know if they accomplish any of them.
Okay, so Destiny, you say the tariffs are bad, right? Okay, why did the Democrats, like Biden, totally continue them and even added more of them on China especially? Sure, there's like stuff going on with Taiwan, but the Democrats did not take any of the tariffs away. They added to the tariffs, and the Democrats, they govern better, right? So if that's one of the policies they get, then the tariffs are actually good for Americans.
So I think
the Democrats did it, right?
Well, so I think there's two
Democrats
separate
govern better. Yeah.
But I agree, they do govern better. So I think there's two separate things going on. So I think, number one, I don't think that tariffs are necessarily bad in all circumstances. Okay. I think as econ policy, as Trump is using them, they're generally bad. And I think when they're literally across the entire board, I think they're also bad. I think that targeted towards particular countries or sectors, they can be okay. So
yeah.
I believe, for instance, that I think Biden raised them against, I think, like electric vehicles.
Yeah, tariffs.
But tariffs alone, I don't
drill,
think
baby,
are,
drill.
Well, I don't think tariffs alone are enough to affect your ideal economic outcome, because after you tariff a country, they can also ship to other countries, and there are other people that can ship from there to your country, or you could just continue to import from other
countries. That's true, but they have to deal with the U.S. because we're number one. They just have to.
Sure, but I'm saying
many instances.
Yeah,
they just have to. They can't not do that. And even then,
well, there are other consumers.
There's other workarounds to probably make them.
There are other consumers on the planet.
Because the U.S. has just been like undermined a lot in these instances.
I don't think that's true.
Which is also why the European Union recently, they came to the table. They even said, the European Union lady, she barely said anything at this press conference. But what she did say was that it's been totally unfair to the U.S. and that these tariffs like made things like fair.
Sure. Just so fair, okay, wait. Yeah. So just on the first point.
At least things should be fair, right?
Yeah, I agree, but I don't even know if Trump knows what fair means right now.
No, but the European Union lady
I understand.
Said
we're not even there yet. So I'm trying to explain between Biden's approach to the tariffs versus Trump's approach.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Biden did continue some. He did some more targeted ones on China. We can talk about whether or not that's good or bad, but the most important part was he paired those tariffs with domestic policy, with like the CHIPS Act, to also incentivize more manufacturing and more capital investment in domestic industry in the United States in a way that's a little bit more reliable and long-term than just a tariff that could come and go every 4 years depending upon on the whims of the president. That was one thing. And then the second thing is also, it's easy to put a tariff on. It's hard to take a tariff off. If you put a tariff on a country, they're probably going to retaliate, which China has.
No, but like I said, they, well, China, that's like an ongoing.
It's an ongoing thing. But I'm just saying.
But
just
that's
real quick,
why the Democrats added tariffs to
if
it.
If you tariff a country and then they tariff you back, that's an easy thing that both sides can do. Escalation.
He was winning the trade war with China beforehand. I don't think so. The Democrats added to it. They agreed with that because they continued those policies. And I'd say he should add to the policies in that regard. And just on that first point,
I'm just saying.
He brought the Taiwan semiconductors to America.
We're not making those semiconductors 30% here.
Of the total semiconductor production in the world.
That's absolutely not happened yet.
No, he's bringing that in. Like, these things don't happen overnight. Well, you know?
They don't. They don't happen in 4 years either. But what I was saying is that also, like, to take a tariff down requires some bilateral negotiation for both of you guys to remove tariffs, because it's unlikely if you just take yours down that the other side will respond in kind. So once tariffs are up, it's easy to keep them. It's hard to take
Why didn't the European Union did? They capitulated.
We don't know that yet. We don't have
They did. They just came to the table very recently.
They
this
said
like
that, but
week.
We don't have an actual deal yet. We just have like words so far. Like, we also had words with Japan. We've also had words with Vietnam. We had words with the UK, but we don't have actual solid deals.
Okay, but they're still coming to the table and they're signaling that they're going to go along with these deals that generally should be better, should benefit the U.S. But I agree that these policies could do more for Americans domestically, actually help out Americans start families here instead of, like, you know, helping China or Israel or just all these countries.
I mean, it's possible. So, I mean,
like what did you think of the freaking the U.S., Mexico, Canada thing? You said you supported that with Trump in the beginning, right?
The trade deal, yeah. I mean, it's basically an expansion of NAFTA, right?
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm curious about, why do you think that we were losing in trade?
Because our leaders have completely sold us out to the rest of the country, to the rest of the world, and they don't want to help out Americans.
So who do you think
Trump's
like-
at least starting the trend where that needs to start helping people who live here? I know a lot of these policies help out these like big companies that he has connections to, and that needs to stop. So he needs to start.
So I'm not even
thinking,
not
Americans.
Even that far along. I'm just thinking, like,
this is the step in the right direction.
Feel like, who do we feel like we were losing out to?
The rest of the world. European Union even said that it was completely one-sided, the trade deals before, and he completely redid NAFTA. Right?
How is it? He didn't completely redo it. It was slightly modified. How do we feel like the rest of the world was beating us? Does it seem possible that the United States was literally losing to the rest of the world?
Yeah,
but
taxpayer
we still have, like, the
dollars
best
go to aid for like dumb stuff in these other countries that should be going here, just across the board, not just for.
Okay, so I want to take a step back and I just want to look at the broad picture. So in the 4 years under Biden, the USD is like the strongest it ever has been. The American consumer is the strongest it ever has been compared to the rest of the like economically developed countries on the planet. We were doing better on inflation. Our economy growth has been huge. We still lead the world in several industries. I don't understand where this idea comes from.
That was because of Trump's policies enacted during his previous term that Biden profited off of.
I think that
these things don't happen overnight, you know?
Let's assume that was true. Trump didn't do all of the tariffs in his first 4 years. So
the economy was pretty good under Trump. Well, but then you would say, oh, that's because of the economy that he inherited from Obama.
Well, I mean, he inherited a decent economy from Obama, and I don't think he did anything to...
But Trump can't, like, bestow a good economy to Biden.
Well, he didn't hurt the economy. I don't think he
did. Yeah, and like I said, Biden continued a lot of these policies.
Sure, but I'm just saying that, like, when we look at the rest of the world, okay, ignore U.S. presidents or whatever, I'm just saying that it feels like, I don't think anybody else on the planet looks at the United States and goes, wow, look at that sucker country that we're all taking advantage of. I think that we still have...
Yes, they do. India, for sure.
Do you think
they're
the average Indian
in the way that they take advantage, and that they don't say that, but that general sentiment.
Well, sure, but like,
is
if you think
immigrants?
In what ways is India like better than the United States?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they feel very entitled to taking advantage of. Like they say, yeah, we're gonna go sucker these people. A lot of these scams, not just in India, in other East Asian countries, a lot of these other countries that are, they just come here to scam, or they take advantage of our system that allows them to scam overseas. A lot of people here, what they do is that they start companies overseas to do it cheaper, just so like, you know, they could profit, but that doesn't really help Americans.
What would you have to see, or what would change your mind to think that other countries weren't scamming us, or what would have to change for you to feel like we weren't being scammed by other countries?
What would have to change? That's a good question. A lot would have to change.
Because India is not doing better probably in almost any way versus the United States. Neither any of the other countries are supposedly scamming us. I feel like the US is a really good deal. We're the rest of the world and that we have the global reserve currency. We are the head of like basically all of the military like alliances.
Yeah, people want to come and like take advantage because there's a lot to take advantage of.
Is it possible that somebody could come here to take advantage of something but both of us benefit? Is that possible? Like couldn't people come to the US to take advantage of something, but both of us are getting something we want? Like when I go to
just come take advantage. Yeah, it's fine. It's like I don't think that's a good thing to be promoting.
So like if I go to Starbucks, that mentality, spend, like,
it's
$4
just come take advantage. Yeah, it's fine. Because a lot of Americans are struggling, dude, hardcore. So I think at the present moment, last like couple decades maybe. No, like that's just we gotta take care of Americans. It's like doing that because a lot of Americans can't afford to just have people like take advantage.
Sure.
People are struggling out here, paycheck to paycheck. Normal families, dude. Like I live around here. It sucks sometimes.
Do you think that people in other countries like aren't struggling, or who do you think is like what other countries are taking advantage of so much?
So it's just to like bring everything down is the idea.
Well, it's not bringing everything down. It's that the idea that the United States is being taken advantage by all these other countries is a delusion. There is no evidence whatsoever.
That is 100% happening.
I know you can say
and
that.
And like I said, there's Americans here who are just encouraging that by like, you know, starting companies overseas and just taking advantage of the system. Americans like just like
why is starting a country overseas isn't necessarily a bad thing, is it?
It's not necessarily a bad thing, but just the general idea that just these like nationalistic policies, I guess you could call them, that would help Americans that aren't geared towards Americans. A lot of other countries have these types of policies.
What do you think is like a bad policy that hurts Americans that also benefits like
that,
trade?
That just make, well, open borders, for example, that just brings people here.
Well, so
undercutting
economic policy,
wages.
Economic policy. Hmm? Like economic trade policy.
Neither of us are economists. Like everyone can see that these immigrants are coming over here to take people's jobs. That's just the bottom
line.
Why
is unemployment still below 5%?
Okay, the unemployment number, that is total crap. Can I respond to that? Like, that's just total crap, the freaking, like, unemployment numbers. Like, what are you trying to say with freaking unemployment right now?
I'm saying that most people that want jobs have jobs right now. The unemployment is still considered pretty good.
No, there's a lot of people that want jobs, but they can't get jobs because a lot of this H-1B visa stuff that Trump is, he's, like, flirting with that, and we don't want him flirting
so
with that because
it
doesn't
right?
help Americans.
Now, right?
There was a big discussion about that on like Twitter and just the general like sphere that we're in about that because that just hurts Americans. And he just needs to like stop doing that. And man, what was I gonna say about the unemployment? Like that's what adds to the unemployment. These freaking Indians just taking people's jobs. For one example,
there's only like
there's
a
lot of people
only
who come over
of
here
jobs?
And take example, okay. take advantage.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but the unemployment numbers are like, they just cook them, dude.
They're not cooked at all.
No.
I hate to do it.
Once you stop,
we have to. Forgive me for doing it, but just to keep things moving.
Well, I just want to say up front first is we are unlikely to agree on any statistics or any history or anything like that from your exchange just earlier. Frankly, none of what you said is substantiable from any information, data, research, resources I have. And I'm sure my Twitter feed doesn't look like your Twitter feed. Let's forget all that because we're not doing a fact-finding show. We don't have computers here. We don't have documents to prove one thing or another.
Can I ask? I'm just curious. How do you decide what numbers to trust?
Well, that's why I want to avoid this discussion because we don't have numbers to... Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, if you see Kyle Kalinske or Destiny or Charlie Kirk or Trump, if somebody says numbers, how do you decide, like, oh, I think that number is credible or that number is not credible? Like,
by looking at the numbers, I've done some of my own research when I found interest in it or I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I've seen evidence of things differently than how other people see it. Just from my own life or from going to the store and seeing it's like, oh, well, the price of that went up and down. Well, yes, that's exactly what I expected from what was going on in the news or data that I've come across. So I would say there's no one source, there's no one way, but I would say most of what I internalize critically, but you would probably say that about the information you internalize. So I'm not really interested in throwing facts or figures unless we can actually have physical facts and figures. But on the topic of tariffs, what is a fair tariff? Should we have tariffs? I mean, that's, I think, a question I need to know what your opinion is to really debate tariffs.
I mean, I would say in general, no. When I look at trade between two countries, there's a concept underpinning trade called comparative advantage, that some economies might be better at creating certain goods or services than other economies. If you can make it better than the other guy can make it per hour of labor, then you let the other guy make it, and then you focus on what you're good at. In a household, for instance, maybe a wife is good at doing home taking or home caring duties, and maybe a husband is good at doing office duties. If you switch these people around, you just create a worse situation for everybody, right? So when I think about tariffs, I'm generally thinking, like, my roots are libertarian-ish. You know, 20 years ago, I'm thinking more free trade, like, as long as another country can create something better for us and they're not engaged in deceptive or harmful trade practices, which is a thing you could talk about, then I would say generally there should be no tariffs. Yeah.
So now, in the case of a country or an economy that definitely has a stronger advantage one way or another, if that is a problem for your local economy, is applying a tariff fair? Something to help reduce the input to your country that impacts what you're able to produce locally.
Yeah, I think you can have a conversation about, like, things that can hurt your local economies. And I think it's fair to have a conversation about that, although very broadly, doing tariffs is generally not the way to do this. I would say, like, a really great example of a way to engage in some form of protectionism could be found in Trump's first term when he expanded on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. One of the numbers that we heard a lot recently was Canada's 145% tariff on dairy or whatever. So yeah. That wasn't really true. What it was is, if Canada's own exporters, if their own local producers, weren't able to sell enough in their country and they were importing too much, then those tariffs would start to kick in to protect their domestic manufacturing. Well, I say manufacturing, but it was their domestic animal agriculture sector for that.
Conditional, but a tariff nonetheless.
Well, yeah, but I mean, conditional, but a tariff nonetheless is important. The conditionality part, I think, is important because broad tariffs are, I think, incredibly destructive. But, like, specific protectionist things like that could make sense, right?
Yeah, but still, it's a tariff. Conditional, though it is, they've calculated, well, if we can't do at least this much business, it's going to be detrimental for our country, so we need to slow down or stem the
external business. I understand when you say, and it's a tariff, but, like, would you be okay with somebody stabbing you?
That's completely unrelated. We're talking
it is
about
unrelated.
Body milk.
No, I understand, but I'm saying if somebody were to stab you, generally we're not okay with that, right?
No,
but if somebody was, like, performing surgery on you, it's probably okay, but they're still stabbing you. But it's very, 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 very different, right?
That's not a sincere argument. That's a completely insincere argument.
Okay,
you can't have a discussion. You're being evasive about whether or not a tariff is fair, and you're trying to throw conditions into it. And then when I've got you painted into the corner of, yes, it's fair with conditions, then you're talking about surgery. It's unrelated. If there's a tariff on surgery, that would be in topic, but there isn't a tariff on surgery.
Well, I'm just saying that things can be okay with conditions, but not okay, like, just...
Dairy farming isn't surgery.
Okay, so I understand,
like,
what you're saying.
Flushed.
So surgery isn't the same thing as tariffs. I'm just saying that, like, conditionally some things are okay, but applied very broadly, it's, like, disastrous. So I think, like, conditionally tariffs, like, almost all forms of policy can be okay in certain conditions, but applied broadly, they could be really bad, I think. So that's my position on tariffs, yeah.
Okay, so, but that's not necessarily the case.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Most tariffs are either conditional or on certain market segments. So lots of the tariffs overseas, especially to China, Taiwan, whatever, from my understanding, because I don't have the facts sitting in front of me right now,
uh-huh.
is that there are certain markets that aren't included, and it's addressing imbalances from where Trump or whoever's in charge of looking at the numbers feels as though there is an imbalance where it's impacting our ability to export.
So I think the issue is that So there's two things going on. So one, the tariffs are broad in that they're market-wide. They might be different from country to country, but they're broad market-wide tariffs and not just targeting a particular industry. And then the
it's not in all cases. You can't generalize like that.
Well, besides China, I think it is in all cases. I think and every single tariff that we've talked about for all the markets, it's affecting the entire market. The only exception is, I think on China, we've individualized some markets, but then he keeps going back on it. And then I think for Canada and Mexico, we've exempted USMCA goods and services. But for every other country, I believe it's just a broad, like 15% across the whole market, I think. So is my understanding.
So why do you think he's working on tariffs?
Because I don't think he's very intelligent. I don't think he knows how to do economic policy. So this is just like a thing he likes and it gives him a lot of attention.
So
like for another thing that you brought up, like I don't agree with using tariffs because there's a quote unquote trade imbalance. Like there might be good reasons to protect certain domestic industries. I think a trade imbalance is not one of them. I don't think trade imbalances are necessarily bad for the United States, but for some reason, Trump has been able to convince all of us of that.
See, it's difficult not to step on my own foot because I can cite different references, but we don't have references to compare
to. I mean, you can say what you want. I can tango with whatever you want to talk about. We can talk about you.
But it's I would say that the argument for if you don't think raising tariffs on other countries is fair, then is it fair for the other countries to have tariffs higher than what we have on them?
Which
has been the case. I don't think it's an argument that has been the case for many, if not most, countries that are
It's not generally the case. I know that Trump said it, but the way that they calculated that was just saying if we have a trade deficit with a country, it means they have tariffs with us, but that's not necessarily true. The formula they used to calculate it was published on the website. It was just basically saying they took the overall trade deficit and they like divided it by the exports. And that's why when people on the news were like, why did we put tariff on this island with penguins or whatever? I think there was some island where there was like one importer that bought a whole bunch of stuff. So we put like 150% tariff on them because they don't like buy stuff from us. But it was just calculated based on that. They didn't have a tariff on it. They didn't buy anything from us. So it was the way they applied the formula was very crude.
But is there your understanding that have any of these other countries have tariffs higher on us than we have had on them?
No, I don't believe so.
All right. That's exactly the opposite of any information I've ever heard on the topic. I haven't even heard any Democrats debate otherwise. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where you're getting that information. But I guess we can't discuss that then. There's really no information to compare.
I mean, I feel like if other countries had all these massive tariffs on us, I feel like we would have been talking about it sometime in the past few decades. Or Trump would have talked about it in his first term, at least. But he only brought this up for some reason in his second term. Why do you think that is?
That's not true because he had discussed tariffs very, very strongly regarding China.
Correct. But China, that was because of a particular... China has been an economic threat. And they engage in kind of like bad economic practices or harmful ones towards us. But we've been talking about China for decades, right? But tariffs across the entirety of the world, Trump only brought that up in a second term. I'm curious why you think that is.
he did bring it up his first term. His momentum was only so strong in his first term. I think even by his own admission, he wanted to win, but he was somewhat surprised he did. He wanted to work with the government in place, and I think most of us were surprised by how much resistance there was to even just doing daily obligations in support of his administration, let alone any progress. And this term, he has a significant amount more of momentum. The momentum is so much stronger, he's able to work on the things that he was unable to previously. I don't think it's that he didn't want to or he didn't try. It's that he didn't have the momentum or the ability in Congress and other courts had him in legal deliberations constantly.
Okay. Well, hello, Stevens. Nice to meet you. We're going to talk about Trump's tariffs today, and you've expressed that you don't think they're that great or what he's done. And I want to
say catastrophic, but yeah,
I want to say he's done really good. And I'll tell you why I think he should even raise the tariffs more, not just on the other countries on the earth, but especially the people that are going to be our enemies for the next world war that's coming up, which has already started. I'll talk about that a little later, but what I think one of the best reasons for Trump to raise tariffs even higher than they are now is because there's so many illegal immigrants coming here, being let into the country, And of course, they're having babies, right? And those babies need to be fed. So I think instead of just like punishing the citizens of the country, right, by raising taxes on them, I think it's a much better idea to sort of get money from a different source other than the United States taxpayer to help with this problem that we have of this influx of illegal immigration through that open border, which is another thing Trump did good to at least address the idea that it's sensitive, like it's a danger to have it, especially with this coming world war, how there's fentanyl coming through that open border, and which is coming from China. I don't know if you guys have information about that, but it's being produced in China and it's coming north of the border through Mexico with the cartels. Now, if they're doing that, and since we haven't gotten to a hot war with them yet, the best thing to do is get as much money as we can through tariffs, which would be legal and not so much aggressive in the sense of like a hot war. And I think, yes, I think Trump is doing a great job what he's doing with what his opposition is. And just for basically those two reasons, which kind of connect, that, yes, there's a huge problem with illegal immigration. And
well, let's give Steven a chance.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I guess just on the, I guess on one of these, when we say tariff, are we still under the impression that the other country pays the tariff and not the American consumer?
I think the people have lied about that for so long that people are just starting to become aware of it. And I think people probably lie too.
Well, so like when, where do you think like tariffs are collected from?
Well, exactly like I just said, get it from these countries. They want to make deals with the United States, China. They're a massive producer with all those coal power plants that they're able to produce a lot cheaply. And they need a market for that.
Well, so, sure. I mean, they have the entire rest of the world, not just the United States.
Well, the rest of the this earth does not have the economy like the United States.
The rest of the earth has a far bigger economy than the entirety of the United States.
Right? Pardon me?
The rest of the world combined has a larger economy than the United States.
Oh, right? So that's what you're saying. So I guess you're proving my point then. If the rest of the economy is bigger than the United States, then yeah, we should get as much from them as we can.
Well, I guess, but what I'm saying is that like if there's a tariff that we enact against another country, a tariff is something that a consumer in the United States pays when they import something. That's an import tax.
I don't think Americans should pay more. I think we should pay less.
But that's what a tariff is.
No, I like I just said, we shouldn't pay more.
But
we should get more money from the other people.
A tariff is an import tax, right?
Excuse me?
A tariff is an import tax. Like all the money collected from tariffs is just more taxes
that are
paid for by Americans.
Yeah, that's why they need to work these deals out better so that the United States taxpayer isn't covering the burden for all this humanitarian efforts that are taking place.
Humanitarian efforts have nothing to do with tariffs. Tariffs are when you import goods.
Illegal immigrants that people are like okay with, you know, like how it's okay to bring them here.
And immigration is a separate...
Listen, this idea that's okay to make other countries better before making our country better.
Do you think
that's
other
the
countries
whole thing
that,
about America first?
Are there other countries that are better than America right now?
I didn't say that they were better.
Okay.
I agree. Said America's the best country. We're in charge. We're the leader. And there's a lot going on. So,
sure.
Yes, of course, like the Godfather, they got to pay tribute to the Godfather.
But they
got to kiss the rings.
Do you understand that tariffs are an import tax?
Yeah, I understand that. So when China wants to sell their products here, they should not be as expensive as they want it. It should be as inexpensive as we want it to
be. But tariffs are going
to
make it more expensive.
Excuse me?
Tariff will make it more expensive.
That's an assumption.
Well, no, that's a factual reality.
Well, it's an assumption that you're thinking if we do this, it'll go one way. I'm saying, no, Americans should pay less. The taxpayers should pay less. The tariffs that we charge, say, China to do business here, any country, India, Italy, anything, Iran, yeah, they got to pay more. You know, they want to do business.
If it comes out
here
in a year or two that we're paying more for things as a result of tariffs, would that make you change your mind on tariffs?
I still think that Americans should pay less and other countries should pay more. So they've discussed earlier how the numbers can be fudged. And, you know, there's that famous book, How to Lie with Numbers. So the specific numbers people could lie about, you know,
yeah,
I've debated
you'll see
plenty
it at the
of Globers. I know that
people, there are
people lie
now that are looking at their
numbers, right?
The stuff that they're paying for. And it is starting to go up. There are people that are having to put, you know, 10-15%
well,
additional
then,
charges to cover
so
the tariffs.
That's one way to motivate the American manufacturing to increase. Like, so if you're saying China, they want to charge us more for their products. Well, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be importing their products and it should say made in USA instead of made in China.
Sure. But the made in USA stuff is going to cost more money.
Well, that'll be jobs for Americans, right?
At the expense taxpayer, all of the consumers,
that's taxable,
right?
Income that will stay in the country.
At the expense of the, well, at the expense of the entire American economy, right? We're going to have to pay more for everything.
Well, so what do you think is the bad thing, that people get higher wages? You think that's a bad thing, that people are going to get higher wages because it's not going to be made in China anymore?
I don't think the higher wages are going to matter when everything else is more expensive than
the
wages.
You don't think the higher wage is going to matter?
Not when everything else becomes more expensive, no.
That's why it needs to be made in America.
It's going to be more expensive if it's made in America.
Well, I mean, once again, that's an assumption. I'm operating more on, like, the principle. Yeah, well,
the principle also doesn't make any sense.
Made
principle.
In USA, we should have more manufacturing. We should not outsource our manufacturing for anything to other countries.
So should we make every single thing that we consume in the United States?
I think that would be a perfect idea. I think the North America and South America are big enough and work well enough together that we could just say peace out rest of the earth and just be solid North and South America.
So what economy, what part of our economy we take workers from to start manufacturing fabrics and textiles?
That's a great idea. You're saying where are the workers going to come from?
Yeah.
All these people that are just hanging out, no job, getting unemployment, everything. You know, every city you see people just hanging out. Give them a job. You know,
so Trump says right
now
that
there'll be a robot. It'll be like artificial intelligence. Okay. You know, it'll be like computers and robotics. And yes, people will be able to get simple jobs. And so, yeah, to answer your question, where is that labor force going to come from? It's going to come from the United States.
So it's absolutely not going to come from the United States. We absolutely don't have enough workers to cover for all of the imports that we do from other markets. It's not an assumption. It's reality. The unemployment is low enough that we don't have all of these extra workers. And the fact of the matter is that the biggest...
with China,
you say bad
right?
deals, but the most important places that America is making progress in right now are fields like artificial intelligence. I don't know what I would take from that to mine coal or to manufacture textiles.
Well, the AI would be able to do it effortlessly without even having to...
If the AI can do it effortlessly, why isn't the AI doing it now?
It takes time. People are uncomfortable with it. It needs to be more or less rolled out in a major way. And I do think one thing about that, people need to become more comfortable with AI.
So wouldn't it be better to roll that out then by having people continue to focus on that research and then just import cheap stuff from other countries until we figure out how to AI it?
I think the best way would be to just start American manufacturing utilizing artificial intelligence and advanced robotics as soon as possible.
Sure.
And get Americans trained in how to write code, how to interact, and every menial job. It won't even be like a human making like the specific logistical decisions.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But then I feel like it would make sense to just import the stuff from other countries and let them deal with the manufacturing while we do the research and innovation and AI.
I could agree with you to a certain extent as long as Americans pay less and other countries pay more.
Sure. The way that we pay less is by importing it. That's why we import it, because it's cheaper.
Well, that's the immediate present. Yeah, that's why I'm saying they can make the changes now to increase how much more we get from other countries with these bad deals that are taking place, and make better deals so that the American taxpayer pays less, more.
I don't think I don't think you can just make a deal to pay less. Unless when people start throwing out tariffs,
that's why we have President Trump, right?
Yeah,
guys?
And nothing
that's
is
why
gotten,
we have President Trump.
Yeah, but he hasn't made anything cheaper yet.
Well, in a way, you're right, because the prices do, they have just been steadily going up through every presidency that I've seen in my life. But that's the point. I voted for Trump, 3 times? He won 3 times because he's saying the things that are true to me, that America should be first. If we are Americans, like, I don't know if you're Canadian or something, you're American.
Very American.
You're American. What do you want, like, some other country to be doing better? Do you want America?
I don't think
to
any other country is doing
better.
I think America is doing the best right now. I don't think other countries are doing better than us. I think there's a bad assumption that every game is zero sum, and if somebody else is winning, that we're losing. But when you go to the store and you give them $10 for, for whatever you buy, you're both winning in that transaction. You want the thing more than they want the thing, and they want the $10 more than.
You mean like if we have allies, right? If we have allies. Good one, good Steven.
Okay, so just to kind of reset, you know, I actually agree with you more on tariffs. They are, like all taxes, ultimately paid by the consumer. You seem to have more of a libertarian stance on tariffs and kind of like a free trade. What do you think about the concept of that Bessent, you know, Scott Bessent has shared so often that tariffs are actually a tool being used by the Trump administration to pursue free trade outcomes? Do you think that there's a utility in that?
I don't think the current administration believes in free trade. I don't think very many people right now, unfortunately, in the United States believe in free trade.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that the underlying assumption right now, and I think we've heard it even a little bit today, is people very much believe in a kind of like a fixed pie economically, that if one person is winning, another person is losing.
Zero sum, yeah.
Yeah. And so if people want to talk about tariffs being used as a tool to pursue something, I mean, one, I would ask, what have we gotten from it? And then two, I would say, we're the United States of America. We don't need to like use tariffs to pursue a thing. We can just have a conversation and figure that out.
Well, but I just find it interesting that a lot of Democrats will, by the way, one thing I love about the tariff thing is that Democrats have suddenly become super libertarian. Like suddenly they don't want any taxes. And I think that's great. I wish they had that same energy toward corporate taxes. I find it interesting that they want to increase corporate taxes, which as you know, is ultimately paid by who? By workers, by people as well. It's not paid by ultimately by the corporations. There's different studies that look at that. Same grouping of studies that say that 90% of tariffs are paid by consumers, like you've said. But when we look at the actual outcomes, we do see that tariffs, especially in the case of European Union, I think Japan, Korea, they've allowed more access to markets. They've reduced regulatory, like, are you familiar with the non-tariff barriers? Regulatory parity, market access, licensing.
So non-tariff barriers, it's not even, we can't even bring that up because Trump, we haven't even begun those discussions.
I have read the stories.
The European Union, we've got like kind of these implicit agreements, but there is no comprehensive trade framework that's been set out yet.
Well, but it's clear to me that that's what they're trying to work on. Like you look at the situation with Tesla, right? That the European Union has certain regulatory barriers that doesn't allow Tesla to sell cars in many countries there. So, you know, if those are being lifted, same with meat, sure, they can have regulations on like quality, that's fine. But I think there is some regulations that do hurt American companies.
There can be. I mean, we had the WTO for that, if we wanted to pursue that. We also can just engage in trade talks and also work on bringing those down. Again, the United States is
the largest. Tariffs is a tool to apply pressure to actually get those things done. We do have to. Like, that's what we've been seeing.
We see our wonderful host over here, James. I don't know if he's been on camera before, okay? My guess is James is about 6'4". Looks like he can bench 315 in his sleep.
For sure.
Okay. This is a big guy.
Yeah.
Imagine James and I are going to have a one-on-one convo later because James caught me messing around with his wife. I don't know if he's married or husband or non-binary partner, whoever, right?
Yeah, sure.
If James were to tell you, I think I'm going to bring a gun so that I can intimidate Steven, I imagine that we would say to James, you look like you could literally punch kill him.
Right, but
I'm just saying that the United States, we have such a huge economy. What country is it that we're incapable of negotiating
with
without
conflating brute force with just incentives? When you mentioned this chips and science, this is a perfect example, actually. You mentioned chips and science earlier. Do you know what that legislation was before it was chips and science? Under the Trump administration, it was called the Endless Frontier Act, and that was to provide innovation. It was only chips and science was bipartisan. I think it was Schumer, and I forgot who the Republican individuals were. But that was only economically viable because of the tariffs that Trump had put on China to bring manufacturing back here. A lot of people don't even recognize that. But there has been a precedent for setting incentives, using tariffs as an economic tool to set the correct incentives to align with American interests. Not only economically, by the way, but also geopolitically. When we see it with immigration, I don't want to talk about immigration right now, but we have seen committals from both Canada and Mexico on that stuff. Whether or not it's been affected, that's a totally different story. But I think there is a utility to tariffs, and I don't think there is. I think you're kind of overstating how catastrophic they've been. There's really no proof that they've been catastrophic.
There's plenty of proof. They are catastrophic. And there's everything about this argument is completely and totally wrong. We have the ability to go to any country that we want and negotiate any deal we want. That's why Trump renegotiated NAFTA to the US-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. There was no massive tariffing on both sides in order to bring them to the table. We do not need massive tariffs to bring anybody to the table. We're the United States of America. We can bring anybody to the table by just talking to them. So the idea that
how has that worked the last 20 years? How has that worked the last
pretty well? We tend to win most of our cases we bring to the World Trade Organization. We have trade deals with every country on the planet,
what you see is massive IP theft from China, from places like China.
But
you
IP theft can't
see,
be... IP
you
theft,
see massive drug problems
I,
coming on from...
IP theft can't be fixed by just broad
it
tariffs.
Can if the government... If you apply pressure to the governments that have... that are overseeing their citizens, especially like a totalitarian country like China, there are outcomes that are measurable.
In 4 years, if the issues with China related to IP theft or other comparative advantages aren't eliminated or at least severely reduced, would you think that this was a mistake by Trump?
In my utopian, libertarian utopian, there's no tariffs. I agree with you on that.
No, I'm not asking. I'm saying that if in 4 years we don't make significant progress with China, would you say this was a failure? We've blown up our trade relations with the rest of the world.
Metrics. It depends on the metrics that you'd have to consider, right? Like, okay. What do you mean? What would warrant significant progress? Is it on the...
Some sort of bilateral trade agreement that irons out like our agreements on how intellectual property is to be used, maybe.
Yeah, that could be one. Maybe it could be China not taking over Taiwan. I don't know. There could be... I think there's geopolitical... You would agree there's geopolitical utility to tariffs?
No.
Really? None whatsoever?
Why? I guess it depends on how you measure utility. There's the utility of a bomb. I mean...
The utility of pressuring countries so that we get America first geopolitical outcomes. No, really.
That's why none have happened yet, even though we were promised 90 deals in 90 days and we have zero deals.
I wouldn't say zero deals. We've gotten massive investments from Taiwan. Actually, Taiwan
We've been always getting investments. That's just a thing that happens. The U.S. economy, CapEx, is a thing that's always happening. FDI is always happening.
So you think the Stargate thing is that tariffs had play no effect into Stargate?
What is the Stargate thing?
The Stargate initiative is all the different... It's a list of different companies. I have it on my phone. I just forgot them off the top of my head, but that have made... I think it leads up to like hundreds of billions, if not over $1 trillion of investments in the U.S. Economy, in domestic economy.
My guess is it's always happening.
Oh, really?
FDI is always... other people are always investing in the United States. Yes. We have a lot of foreign investment here.
Sure, but there's like... I just find it interesting that you bring up something like the chips and science, which is only economically viable because of tariffs.
That's not true. It's economically viable because it's subsidiary by the government.
It's subsidized by which government?
By the United States government.
China subsidized. The thing is that other countries also subsidize.
No, they don't. Do they? How?
Do you think... What do you mean? Governments subsidize products all the time
The CHIPS Act was a $500 billion bill where the money was apportioned from the U.S. budget.
Right, but the manufacturing... what the CHIPS Act did, one of the most notable parts of the CHIPS Act was to bring manufacturing back to the States. And that was only economically possible because of the tariffs, because it was more expensive at that point to do business in China and other places because of tariffs.
I think it had more to do with the fact that there was a massive government subsidy that financially incentivized you to make it in the United States.
I mean, it can be both a little bit.
Both can be true. But the CHIPS Act can be hyper-targeted to incentivizing domestic manufacturing without necessarily blowing up a relationship with the rest of the world and without having to do a broad tariff that hurts the entire U.S. market.
I just think that when you frame it as catastrophic... Can I paint a picture real quick, actually? Let me just... 30 seconds to paint a picture, because you said earlier to one of the other contestants that the domestic policy doesn't match the tariff policy. I actually completely disagree with that. If we imagine three levers, right, and two of them are domestic policy, we have corporate tax and federal income tax, and then one is international, being the tariff. If we reduce the levers on the domestic taxes and we increase tariff, politically, it's actually a huge win. And I think this is the genius of the Trump administration, is that the domestic policy is extremely hard to change. You have to have approval by the Senate. You have to have a bill. You know, it takes years to change. Tariffs, Trump changes it on a fly.
So that's not supposed to be the way that it works. Tariffs are supposed to be changed by Congress.
Do you acknowledge that that is the way that it works?
Because he's abusing illegally the system.
Sure,
right now, yes.
But that is the way that it works. Therefore, you can see that the tariff, we might have 50% tariffs on Brazil, which, by the way, is only on certain... There's a bunch of exemptions too there, but those can be turned off on a whim. Same with other countries.
But we don't want an economic policy that the lead executive, the president, can turn on and off whenever he wants. Do you understand how catastrophic that is?
It's in pursuit of America's interests.
But it's not. But we know it's going to be a pursuit of whoever's in office at that particular point in time.
But who's representing America? What is Trump? Trump is the chief
executive. He's a lame duck president right now. He can't be elected again. Why do we know he's representing
America?
Well,
I mean, obviously Trump himself can't be elected again, but.
So why would we trust him with the levers on our economy?
Because we voted for him. He's the chief executive, right?
We didn't vote for him to give him unilateral control of the economy.
But that is just how the mechanic currently works.
Because he's breaking the law, yes.
He is not breaking the law.
He's breaking the law, of course.
What law is he breaking?
The thing that allows him to do that is there's an Emergency Powers Act. I believe it's either the Tariff or the Trade Emergency Powers Act by Congress that allows him to declare a national emergency, which gives him the ability to do tariffs unilaterally. He declared that our trade deficits were national emergencies and that's where he gets the power to tariff the rest of the world. Obviously, that's not the way that law was intended to work.
We can argue about whether or not
Do you think that the President of the United States should be able to unilaterally do economic policy?
Maybe not.
We don't have a strong opinion.
Fiscal policy, I think that they have a huge...
Fiscal comes from the budget set by Congress. No, it's by Congress.
Well, yeah, but it's also the executive.
No, it's by Congress. We wouldn't want the president to have unilateral control over...
That's a totally different debate, and maybe things will change in the future, but the fact of the matter is that I'm in favor of the lower taxes.
Okay.
That's all.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day.
Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.